Let's worship together, sing.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Again, sing.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory,
Lord. We worship.
we do.
What a beautiful time of worship. Jacob, thank you for leading us so well. Welcome, everyone. My name is Bo. I'm on the pastoral team here at Christian Assembly Church, and I'm so glad that you are with us today online. A special welcome to any guests or visitors who might be joining us today. If you are not a part of a life group yet, or maybe you're new to our church, we encourage you to find a life group to grow with others in a small group setting. There is nothing like doing life with others to further your spiritual growth. We have various types of life groups, including our Fusion 18 to 35-year-old community, men's, women's, marrieds, family, and more. You can go to our website to find a life group and to find out details for each group, including whether or not they are meeting online or in person. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking the Give tab. Also, we are sending out our 2020 giving statements via email and mail, so be on the lookout in your email and regular mail for your statement. Make sure to also check your email spam box in the coming weeks in case you don't see your statement. And as always, thank you for your ongoing generosity. Now let's continue in worship as we hear our sermon for today.
Well, hello to my CA family and to any visitors and guests. It's such a privilege to be with you today and an honor to share God's word with you because I believe it's his word that has the power to transform us. Let me begin our time together with a prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the grace that you extend to us, your children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, today as I share your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work through me and to everyone, Father God, listening to my voice. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if there's anything that the pandemic has confirmed for me, it's how much you and I need one another. As a pastor, I hear story after story of despair, fear, and loneliness brought on by the decrease in human interaction caused by the pandemic. This is especially true for some of my single friends and those living alone. But you don't need to be a pastor to know that people are struggling. As social distancing, work from home, and the closure of those places where we used to meet drags on, the negative impacts to our well-being have become increasingly evident. Tulane University School of Public Health published an article stating adverse health consequences range from sleeplessness, higher anxiety, depression, and even suicide. But long before the pandemic, in the beginning, God knew that being alone was not good for us. As a matter of fact, the very first problem identified in the Bible, it wasn't sin, it was isolation. In the midst of a perfect world, when God called everything he created good, and before Adam and Eve ever sinned, he said, "It is not good that man is alone." Today, I'm so excited to share another We Can in our sermon series because this We Can is God's solution to isolation and it's near and dear to me. We can find and build Christ-centered community. In our time together, I want to first help us understand Christ-centered community, what it is. Then I want to tell you how you can find Christ-centered community. And finally, I want to explain how you can build Christ-centered community. So what is Christ-centered community? You can call me Captain Obvious, but the most basic definition is any community that is centered on Christ. However, Scripture gives us a more sure biblical definition. On Pentecost, Peter and the disciples had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 Jews became new believers and were baptized. Acts 2:42 says that these newly baptized believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, the word translated fellowship is koinonia. Now, I don't love that translation of koinonia into the word fellowship, because that word, fellowship, can seem like just so much Christianese. Hey, Bill and Susie, let's go grab a bite after church and fellowship. Koinonia involves a much deeper level of fellowship than any informal social gathering. The origin of this Greek word is koinonos, which simply means partner, sharer, or companion. But to truly understand the weightiness of the central role biblical fellowship plays in the lives of Christ followers like you and I, let's consider 1 John 1:3. It says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship or koinonia with us. And our fellowship, koinonia again, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." This passage puts horizontal fellowship between believers on the same level as our vertical fellowship with God. So although social gatherings, interactions, meetups with family or friends are fellowship or a type of community, they are not koinonia or Christ-centered community. Koinonia is so much more than what we see played out in the relationships on the TV show Friends. So how do we find Christ-centered community? At Christian Assembly, one of the primary ways you can find Christ-centered community is through our life groups. Many of you are already part of a life group, but for those of you new to CA or you've yet to join a group, let me share a bit more. Life groups are small groups of people from CA, usually 6 to 12 people, sometimes more, sometimes less, that gather outside of church approximately 3 times per month. The hour or two spent together in life group generally includes time discussing and asking questions about scripture, time praying for one another, and sharing life. Sharing life simply means that people share the real stuff of their lives, the highs and lows, the wins and the losses, the victories and the struggles. We have life groups for everyone, for men, for women, for young adults, married couples, families with kids, and junior high and high school students. And during this pandemic, many of our groups have moved online, while others continue meeting in person, socially distanced, in backyards or other outdoor spaces. If you're a life group leader, let me just pause right now to say thank you that in a season when others are primarily focused on caring for themselves, you've chosen to care for others. Our church is truly grateful for you. In addition to our life groups, there are other ways to find Christ-centered community at CA. We have women's ministry groups, and this week, the CA Men's Ministry is launching Kingdom Man 8-week groups. We also have seasonal Thrive groups that focus on spiritual and emotional health and our ongoing Disciples of Recovery step groups. Let me just pause to say a brief word about Disciples of Recovery groups. If you're someone who's struggling with an addiction, I just want to say to you, freedom is rarely found in isolation. I want to encourage you that walking with others in a DOR group is a first step you can take towards wholeness. With DOR, you can come as you are, brokenness and all. To find our life groups or any group that I've mentioned, you simply need to visit our CA website. The address is below on your screen. So now you know how to define Christ-centered community, and you know how to find it here at CA. I want to spend the rest of our time highlighting how you can be a part of building it. In Matthew 12, 47 to 50, Jesus was told that his mothers and brothers were looking for him. Now, when he heard this, he said something interesting. He took an opportunity to teach a kingdom truth with his reply. He said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing out to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother, here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother." Jesus' words reshaped or broadened family to be anyone who follows him. So whether you're single, married, young, old, have family within driving distance or out of state, life groups can be a place for getting out of isolation and developing relationships with your extended family. Two great characteristics of most healthy families is the love and help readily available and freely given to one another. And two New Testament scriptures help us to better understand this. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Philippians 2:3 to 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Now, because of my isolation, selfishness was something I practiced for most of my life. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that. And in isolation, it was easier to remain that way because you're insulated from the needs of others. Maybe you've recognized a bit of selfishness in yourself. If that's the case for you, life groups give us the opportunity to build Christ-centered community as we carry one another's burdens and look to the interests of others. Part of this includes sharing with one another the most honest version of your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sometimes you and I get to rejoice together, and other times we cry. Sometimes we are carrying other people's burdens, and sometimes they're helping us carry ours, usually through prayers, encouragement, and simply being present. Sometimes when we're feeling alone or overwhelmed in our struggles, you and I can question God. I know I've said this. God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? The answer that we often miss in isolation is this: I'm right here, but you haven't taken advantage of the help I've made available through others. Sometimes the burdens you and I carry in life will only seem lighter if we allow others to carry them with us. Let's stop trying to be a people who try to lift our burdens alone or who close our eyes to those who need us to help them with theirs. Being in a life group with our extended family and caring for one another are ways that you and I can build ourselves and others in Christ-centered community. But there are some long-term benefits as well. It's my human tendency, and maybe it's yours too, that if we don't see enough immediate gratification in any given activity, we can easily put it off or opt out altogether. So it's important to understand that some of the benefits of being in a life group are long-term or lagging indicators. Let me explain lagging indicators. Lagging indicators are simply the result of and reveal what has previously taken place, generally over a long period of time. For example, healthy or unhealthy weight is often, not always, a lagging indicator of our healthy or unhealthy eating and exercise habits over time. I have a personal example I can share of a lagging indicator because it's taking place next week when my wife Jana and I will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. So amazing to me and maybe to others. Our silver anniversary is a lagging indicator of a lot of hard work. Years of attending marriage seminars, reading books on marriage, and being in life groups with other couples and learning what successful couples do. It's a lagging indicator of a lot of grace, patience, and forgiveness, mostly with Jana towards me. I share all this about lagging indicators because although some benefits of being in a life group aren't immediate, they are worth the wait. So let me share just one. As a kid, maybe like you, I once took music lessons. I took flute lessons. But when I found out that you had to take more than one lesson and practice to get good, I hung up my flute or I put it in the case and I never opened it again. All that to say, I'm not a musician and I don't read music. But whether or not you read music, we all know that if someone came to us and handed us the world's greatest musical masterpiece, we wouldn't fully experience it simply by reading it. That could only happen if you and I could hear it played by all the gifted musicians in the band or the orchestra. This is often the case with the Word of God. The Bible is the greatest book ever written. Scripture says that it's God-breathed. And one of the things that made Jesus so attractive to so many who met him while he walked on the earth was that he was the Word made flesh. Have you ever read the gospel accounts of Jesus being with his disciples and thought how incredible it would have been to experience him in person? I know I have. Well, I have some good news for you. The reality is that we can, you and I can experience Jesus in person through one another, through the body of Christ. Do you remember that passage in Acts when Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus as he was getting ready to persecute Christians? The book of Acts records that Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, you need to catch this. Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my people?" which is what he was doing. He said, "Me." Tim Keller, when talking about this passage, offers this stunning conclusion about it. He says, Jesus' use of the word "me" is saying, "I'm in every Christian." He goes on, "Therefore, we can't fully know Jesus apart from Christ-centered community. If you and I want to get to know all the facets of Jesus, we need to get to know one another. Because there's a lot of Jesus we will never see anywhere else except in the faces of our sisters and our brothers." Life groups are where you and I can experience the facets of Jesus. Let me share the impact of this truth in my own life. I can so confirm Keller's comment that it's in the faces of my brothers and sisters who are in my men's life group and my co-ed life group. It's in them that I see some of the many facets of Jesus more clearly than I ever could on my own. A dear sister in my life group, Lena, who's been a long-term has a long-term work situation where she's had to endure backstabbing and backbiting and the unkindness of two fellow employees. In her gracious response, I see the long-suffering of Jesus, Jesus loving his enemies, and I see the forgiveness of Jesus. And then there's John, who leads my men's life group. He checks in, he prays, he encourages the guys in our group with texts and emails and phone calls, as each of us have experienced various trials and tribulations throughout our years together in group. In John, I see the faithfulness, compassion, and the care of Jesus. Then there's my dear brother and now one of my closest friends, Todd. Todd is a servant and one of the most authentic men I know. He's the one that when I ask to borrow a plumbing tool, he'll get in his car, come over, and help me lug a several hundred pound water heater up and down the stairs. In him, I see the integrity, steadiness, and selflessness of Jesus. It's worth pausing to note that in weekly one-on-one meetings with both John and with Todd, together we're able to live out James 5:16, which says that we are to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Building Christ-centered community also includes confessing our sins, faults, and flaws to one another that we might heal and grow in ways that we never could on our own. Grace on earth is not fully experienced alone. It is only fully experienced in community. After years of seeing and experiencing the character of Christ through these examples and others, I could go on and on about the transformation I've experienced as a Christ follower, as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a brother, as a friend, and more. Seeing Jesus in others has helped to grow Jesus in me. As I conclude, let me share a bit about my own wrestling with finding and building Christ-centered community. You see, I haven't always been this passionate about Christ-centered community. I've been a Christ follower for most of my adult life, which is about 40 years. And for half of those years, I believed the lie that I could grow and change on my own, apart from Christ-centered community. I don't mean apart from attending church, because I have to tell you, I was a faithful weekly churchgoer. I truly love being in church, and I hate missing. What I mean is, I thought Christ could be formed in me apart from being with others who had Christ formed in them. You know what I mean? Just me and my Bible, just me and Jesus. I spent years avoiding getting into Christ-centered small groups. With every invitation, I was ready with a reasonable-sounding excuse. But I had a good friend, and this is a good friend. I had a good friend badger me. Yes, I mean badger for weeks and weeks, to join him in a small group he was going to lead. I did not want to join. And I even remember telling him I didn't need it, and I wasn't anything like the others who did. I don't know if my desire to remain in isolation was more driven by my fear, or it was driven by an inflated sense of myself, my pride. So after years of an up-and-down Christian life, after years of regrettable life-impacting decisions, after years of carrying my burdens alone, I finally went. That was almost 25 years ago, right after Jana and I got married. And in my very first small group, I discovered what we all eventually discover. God is always right. I discovered that I really did need people around me who would protect me from myself and the deception and stunted spiritual growth that can occur in isolation. None of us should completely trust ourselves because all of us have blindnesses and weaknesses and biases. We all need the guardrails provided by others. Being a part of a Christ-centered community is looking out for one another. When we get caught up with the incessant voices of fear and confusion, It's looking out for one another when we are going astray in sin, astray in letting our love for God and others grow cold, and when we are tempted to return to the hiding that isolation provides. But if no one knows your name, it's hard to call you when you're missing. I discovered that in life groups, you and I have other Christ followers around us who can help us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I am now a staunch believer in God's solution to isolation, and someone at CA who now gets to help others find and build Christ-centered community. If you hadn't yet been a believer in your need for finding and building Christ-centered community, my hope is that the Holy Spirit right now is stirring your heart to a response that maybe you need to consider. For some, you've been in a life group, but you stopped attending. I hope you're feeling encouraged to re-engage. For others, you are a committed part of a life group or leading. I hope you are feeling encouraged about your commitment. And for others, you can respond to what's being stirred in your heart by finding and joining a life group. And still, for others, you can respond by contacting us about what it would look like for you to lead a life group. When it comes to our life groups, our desire is to have enough space for everyone. We want all of our life groups to grow big enough to multiply, to split, and that means we are always looking for those who are willing to lead. The easiest way to take a first step to joining or leading a group is to email us at the address on your screens. Let me close with Ephesians 4:16. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me put this verse another way. The Word of God is the music, Jesus is the conductor, and you and I are the musicians. In joining with others in finding and building Christ-centered community together, you and I get to play a part in God's grand masterpiece. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that the seeds that were sown would be watered by the Holy Spirit and would grow up and produce fruit. Lord, thank you for sharing out of your word our need for one another. Thank you for providing a divine solution to isolation. Lord, as we dismiss today, as we end our time together, I just pray, God, that you would move on those that need to re-engage, that you would move on those who need to stay committed, and God, that you would move on those who need to look into joining a group or leading a group. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace. We're so grateful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Those who've gone before, be apart no more, and we will hear the sound as all are gathered round. Like peals of
for being with us today online. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during the service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address that you see on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855. Now let me close with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. See you next week.